You can go ahead and be seated. All right, open your Bibles up with me to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to just read the first two verses here. It says this, "For as much then as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." I want to talk to you tonight about the will of God and doing the will of God. And notice here that Peter writing, he says, you know, if you've been born again, if you're a child of God, then you've escaped the lust of the flesh. You've got to stay away from that. You don't live your life in that anymore. What you live your life to do now is to live in the will of God. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the perfect will of God. Come on now, I don't want to just be in His permissive will. You know what that means, right? It means that God will allow you to do whatever you want to do. Why? Because you have a free will. But I want to be in God's perfect will. I want to be doing exactly what God wants me to do. Now, we've taught here many times, and you ought to have it by now, but we also know that the will of God is the Word of God. And we've got to understand that. And that helps us to know how we should be living, which means we ought to be living by the Word of God. Again, Romans 12:2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." See, spiritual transformation comes from the Word of God. If you're going to be transformed, you're going to have to get into the Word of God now spiritually, right? Come on, now you can do other things and it can change you. But if you want to be spiritually changed, you need to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God, read the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, right? Why? Because the Word is so powerful in our lives. Listen, it's alive and it's working, and the Word of God comes to pass in our lives. And here's the thing, we're children of God, and so when we speak the Word of God, things happen. And it's time for the church to begin to rise up and begin speaking the Word of God and living in the will of God. Look over here in Luke chapter 4 with me, if you would. Just jump over there. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. It says, Jesus here is talking about Him coming down. He says, "And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with Thee, Thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art Thou come to destroy us? I know Thee, who Thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Notice this. What a word is this? Listen, church, there is nothing like the Word of God in our lives to be operating in. See, if we're going to work and operate in the will of God, then we're going to have to operate within the confines of the Word. Understand that these people that were hearing Jesus speak here were used to hearing the priest. They were used to hearing reading Scripture. They were used to going through ritual motions. And then here comes Jesus, and now He's not just reading a Scripture like it's a story. But see, most of the church, when they read the Bible, they read the Bible as a storybook. They're just reading stories, and they're not relating to the fact that this is the living Word of God. It's true. Everything that the Word of God says is true. And I think so many times that the church is so used to the preachers, reading scriptures and just talking and telling stories. They're not understanding that when you read the Word of God, you're reading the very power of God. You see, and that's God's will for us, is to be operating and walking in this. See, Jesus not only read some things, but He also put into action the Word of God. He put it into action and used it, you see, and they weren't used to that. What a word is this? With authority He's doing this thing. Listen, you ought to be operating in the authority of God. Why? Because you are children of God, anointed of God, the priest of God. Come on. You see, so if you're walking in the will of God and operating in the will of God, you're going to be working in the will of God. Now, if we're going to do the will of God, then we're going to have to just look at ourselves and say, you know what? I got to put this word into action. Right? I got to make sure it's operating in my life. And so I need to know what the Word says. I need to know what the will of God is concerning the Word. Right? Now we know, you know, we've got three basic principles that we preach, you know, as a Word of Faith church. And then, of course, the first one and the most important one is salvation. Right? So you need to know what is the will of God. And say, you know, so a lot of folks don't know that it's the will of God for them to be saved. It's still true that a lot of people have no idea that it is the will of God for them to be saved. But we have Scripture, and I'm going to just give you a few here just so that we can see that what we're saying and what we're believing, what we're teaching, what we're standing in is truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See right there, the will of God is that nobody should perish and everybody come to repentance. Notice that. It is God's will for every person to be saved. John 6:40 says, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Every person that's believing in the Son, I'll raise him up. See, that's the will of God for every person to be saved. We also know another one of our principles that we stand on is healing, right? Divine healing. And I'm telling you, it's not taught in the church enough. People don't understand that it is God's will for you to be healed. It is God's will for you to walk in divine health. Just because you're not there yet don't mean it's not God's will. Just because somebody's saved don't mean it's not God's will for them to be saved. They're just not walking in it yet. They've just not learned how to receive it yet. Well, the same is true when it comes to healing. Even in the church, among born-again believers, there's a lot of folks that they haven't received the fact yet that God wants us to walk in divine healing. Now, we have to understand that every one of us, this is an area that we all struggle with some, but it doesn't change the Word of God. It doesn't change the will of God. There, we still get attacked by the enemy, and it's a trespass when sickness or disease comes at us. Why? Because we belong to God. We're God's property. But let me just show you here. We're talking about God's will in healing here. But it says, "And behold," Matthew 8:2-3, it says, "And behold, there came a leopard and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleaned. Now what did he say? He said, "If it's your will, Lord, you can heal me." Jesus says, what? "It's my will. It's my will." Of course, we know, I mean, we've got all the healing scriptures, but I just want to just point out a few things because we're talking about being in the will of God and doing the will of God. Of course, the other one is prosperity. I get so tired of seeing people that don't know the true meaning of prosperity, biblical meaning, saying, "Well, you better watch out, that prosperity gospel, that's a dangerous gospel. That's dangerous." Can I tell you something? So is that salvation gospel if you preach it the wrong way? Come on, right? See, because there's folks out there preaching you don't got to repent to be saved. Well, they're wrong, right? There's people out there preaching certain other doctrines, you know, and I'm not going to get into them because, you know, there's folks out there watching and they believe all that junk. But I'm just going to tell you that it depends on whether it's preached from the Word or preached from doctrine. Okay? And I want you to understand that the gospel is prostituted a lot. When it comes to salvation, again, they preach it wrong many times. Well, let me ask you something. What's the difference in that and prosperity? You see, there's no doubt that there are charlatans out there that have preached the prosperity gospel to get rich themselves. They have prostituted the prosperity gospel. But it does not mean you throw it out. Are you going to throw salvation away because somebody's preaching it wrong? Of course not. Why? Because it's in the Word. See, you've got to understand that the prosperity gospel is part of the Word of God and it is God's will for us. Come on. If you want to hear false doctrine, let somebody tell you God don't want your money. See, you just got kind of quiet on me. He wouldn't have told you to pay tithes and offerings if he didn't want your money. Now, he don't want it up in heaven, but he wants it in his kingdom so we can do business here on this earth. Right? Okay? So people, that's all they just say that so they can get the money. You know, no, you do what you want to do, but I'll give you scripture to show you that it is God's will for you to prosper. You see, and again, I mean, you know, I've watched them say, you know, if you want this from God, whatever, give $1,000. You don't get caught up in all that junk. You know, again, that's people trying to hijack you. You don't get into all that stuff. But just because they do that, because they're preaching it wrong, does not mean that the prosperity gospel is wrong. Right? We have, of course, one of the scriptures that we love is found right there in 3 John, verse 2, where he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Now just stop right there. So if his wish above all things is, then that's his will, right? If I want something for you above everything in the world, I want this for you. Does that not mean it's my will for you to have that? So he says, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper." Then he goes on and says, "And be in health, even as your soul prospers." See, all those three principles that we preach and teach here, they're all backed up in that one scripture. See, you've got to understand something. That if the church is broke and doesn't have any money, what kind of representation is it for God's children to be begging the world for money? Think about it for a minute. You know, the people that say, "Well, that prosperity message, that right there, that's wrong." They don't care a bit to go in some business that's trying to make a living for themselves and bum money. We need. Can you give us money to help us build our church? Can you give us money to help us do this? See, it gets kind of quiet when you talk about this. Standing on the street and stopping cars. Now, yeah, I know I'm making a lot of people mad because it's happened around here as long as I can remember. But I haven't found in the Word of God anywhere where it says, "Go into the world and make them give you money." Come on now. Now you can go over and find out when Israel come up out of Egypt that the people wanted rid of them so bad that it says they spoiled the Egyptians. You can read that, God. But if you look on from that point on, any time that there's something going on and they need money for something, they say, "Go tell the people to bring it. Go tell the people to bring it." Well, you can't bring it if you don't got it. Right? So God wants you to have money. He wants you to have wealth. He wants you to have prosperity so that you can keep His house going without having to ask the world to help. Amen. Well, you see, what that means is simply this. That if God wants you to take care of His church, then He's going to take care of you so you can take care of His church. So it is God's will for you to prosper and you need to understand that. And we're talking about doing the will of God. I've got to just one more scripture I want to get there. Listen to Psalm 35. It's in the Old Testament too. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." Would you not say that'd be people that are born again? I understand this is Old Testament, but I'm talking about this is people of God, people that love God, people that serve God, right? because they favor his righteous cause. The devil's crowd does not favor righteous causes. Right? All right. He says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Right there it says, God has pleasure in you prospering. God wants you blessed, because when you're blessed, it makes him look good. And you can say, well, God's not that way. He don't need to look good. Listen, he says, magnify me, exalt me, lift me up, glorify me. Yes, he's God. He wants to look good for his kids. And he wants the world to see that he's a good God, not the God the world points him out to be. Amen. God takes care of his kids. And so we know that's part of the will of God. Now, in Psalm 40, I'll take you over there, but I just wanted to show you those three things and just give you, because I get a little frustrated when I hear people just trying to say these things are not in the Word of God. Just because your church don't teach them, just because your preacher don't teach them, don't mean they're not in the Word of God. It just means you ain't never heard it before. Right? And there's things in the Word of God and that maybe you haven't heard before. We was talking with somebody earlier there, and they said they was reading there where Jesus was tempted, and he said, I'd never really noticed there that the devil used Scripture on Jesus. He said, the devil knows Scripture. And I said, yep. He said, had never caught that before. See, because we're always ever learning. We're always discovering. The Word of God is progressive revelation to us. You can read something time and time and time again and then go back and read it, and all of a sudden one word changes everything that you just, wow, why didn't I see that before? Amen. And there it is. And you're just like, man, that's good right there. But Psalms 40, verse 8, if you would. Let's jump over there. Psalms 40 and verse 8. Here's what the psalmist David says. He says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. Man, I wish the church would delight to do the will of God. If they would, we wouldn't have a seat in the house empty. Because it is the will of God for you to attend church services. To assemble yourself together, right? It is the will of God for you to do that. But he says, I delight to do thy will. And notice he said, I've got your word in my heart. Now, I like what he says, but then you jump over to chapter 143. And David over there says, it changes some. He says, teach me to do thy will. For thou art God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. What's going on? Well, here's what's going on. David asked God to help him. He says, I delight to do your will, God, but I'm going to need some help. See, there's nothing wrong if you're struggling with some things. There's nothing wrong if you're struggling with trying to do certain things and it's just, there's some meat in the Word that you just have to chew on a little while. And, you know, maybe prosperity is one of those things for you. Maybe healing is one of those things. Whatever it is, there's some things that maybe we need God to help us, to teach us how to walk in that so that we can do His will in that. You know, so when we look at this, think about this for a minute. Doing the will of God means that you've got to deny yourself sometimes. You know that? I mean, you know, when you start doing the will of God, that means sometimes you've got to set aside self. And you've got to say, God, I'll do what you want, what your will is. Isn't that what Jesus did in the garden? I mean, we know that Jesus' will was to not have to do it if he didn't have to, right? He even actually said it. If there's any other way, God, but not my will, but your will done. You see, so, I mean, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. You've got to understand, he's in a human body. He's a human with the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. He's not God praying in the garden. He's Jesus the man. even though he's 100% God, 100% man. But you understand what I'm saying. He's in the form of humanity now, getting ready to take on the sins of humanity upon himself. No doubt he's seen many crucifixions. He knows what's about to happen. And he knows it's about to happen to him. And if there's any other way, God, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. He had to deny himself. There's times that you and I have to deny our will. I know there's Wednesday nights that you're tired, you've worked all day, and man, it's maybe not been the best day in the world, and you're just like, man, I just want to go home and just kick back, and and you've got to put I just aside and say, well, He wants me in church. He wants me there to worship Him. He wants my worship and my praise. You see, you have to lay that down, and sometimes it's hard. And you just have to make up your mind, I will deny myself, and I will follow after Him. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you what Jesus said. Listen to this over here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Let's look at it. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus to His disciples, if any man will come after me, well, could we say that coming after him would be, I'm trying to do his will? But if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Look what Jesus says there. Man, He says, you know, if you want to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Well, that means, you know, if I'm following Him, that means I don't get to go to my direction, I get to go His direction. How many knows His direction is going to be the right direction for you? Amen. So we understand that sometimes we have to deny ourselves to follow after God. That means I want to do this, but I can't get to do this because I've got church tonight. Come on now. I know that's not a popular thing. That hurts. That cuts. You just have to shake. And here's the thing too, folks. I mean, you know, you can say, well, you know, I mean, there's certain things. We got to be reasonable about things. This COVID thing that's going around. You know, we don't want to spread that on somebody else. But if you're just feeling bad, you know, I don't know. I'm just not feeling good. I think I'll just stay home tonight. Wrong. What better place to be than in the house of healing? Come on now. Because most likely you're not going to get out your Bible, go to your healing scriptures, and sit there and read healing scriptures, meditate on them, and sing healing songs to yourself to get yourself healed. You're probably going to go watch something on TV that won't get you healed. Or look at something on social media that won't get you healed. Come on now. Right? No better place to be in the house of healing. But a lot of times we won't do that. We won't deny ourselves. We'll let our body win out. Can I tell you, there's times that I don't want to get up and preach. See, you're looking at me funny. Well, Pastor, I got a human body like you do. Come on now. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to preach. But there's times I'm like, man, I don't always feel it. Sometimes I need it the most. Right? Come on now. That's when you need it, when you don't feel it. Right? So you've got to press through and say, you know, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And if I do what God wants me to do, then I'm going to be doing the right thing. I'm going to receive my healing. Right? Come on now. Amen. Now jump over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's read over here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's just read the first four verses here. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Notice that. Look at what he's saying here. He says this, here's what the will of God is for you. It's to know how to walk and carry yourself godly. Know how to behave yourself and be a godly person. That's the will of God for you. Listen, church, we're to be examples on this earth of a believer. We're to be examples of what it's like to be saved and on our way to heaven. If we're acting like the world and talking like the world and doing like the world, then we're not in the will of God. Because the world is watching what we do. Now, you can say out of your mouth all you want to. But it doesn't matter what's coming out of your mouth because they can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you're doing. Come on now. And so we have to learn that if I'm going to live in the will of God and I'm going to do the will of God, then I've got to always be mindful that I've got to be walking this thing out. Because people are watching you. They're looking for a reason to accuse you of something. Amen. They're just watching for you to slip up somewhere. Watching for you to make a mistake. Say something wrong. Do something wrong so they can say, aha, I told you. I told you so. No. That's not going to be said about us. That's not going to be said about you. Because you are a godly generation. A godly people that want to walk out the perfect will of God. Right? Come on. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you one more scripture and then we're going to close this thing out here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. In other words, no matter what we're going through, we're still going to be thankful. In the good times, we're going to be thankful. In the bad times, we're going to be thankful. When we got money, we're going to be thankful. When things are tight, we're going to be thankful. Right? When we're feeling like the best, we're going to be thankful. But even when we don't feel like breathing, we're still going to be thankful. Why? Because God is God. And He's our God. And He's our Savior. And He's our healer. And He's the lifter of our head. And so we're just going to worship Him and praise Him. Listen, church, it's not hard to walk in the will of God. We just be led by the Holy Spirit, led by the Word of God, and we'll stay in the perfect will of God and not have any problems staying there. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You tonight.